The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Saturday, it's UFC 253 back on Fight Island with two title bouts. You'll see Israel Adesanya taking on Paulo Costa and then Dominic Reyes against Jan Blachowicz for the vacant light heavyweight title. You can order the main card in English and Spanish by going to ESPNplus.com/PPV. Having a good morning here with Damian Woody in my studio and plenty of others standing by getting ready to talk football and hoops and more with you. It's Get Up coming to you live, as always, from the Seaport District at Pier 17. We are brought to you by Chase, and here comes the menu for hour number two. It is time to get up with the NBA's new superhero, one of the great rookie performances of all time as the Heat turned up on Boston. You'll see it. Meanwhile, how can we be missing a man this large? What has happened to Rob Gronkowski, and can he be found in Tampa Bay? Plus, it is as good a matchup as the NFL has offered in a long time, and it's 4 days away. What will decide it when Patrick and Lamar go head-to-head on Monday night? All that and more as we get up with you starting right now, beginning with the game of the night in the NBA's bubble. Celtics, Heat, Game 4. Tyler Hero was the hero. Fourth quarter, 8 minutes to go, Heat up one. And just look at the confidence. Hero coming around the screen, coming off the bench. Heat up by four. Under seven to go. Still a four-point game. Hero, Mr. Outside. Hero, Mr. Inside. He's the fourth player in NBA history to score 30 or more in a playoff game at age 20 or younger. And he was just getting started. 4 minutes to go. Heat up five. Hero, unconscious. They're up by eight. 2 minutes to go. Celtics down seven, trying to get back in it. Jason Tatum, crazy night. 0 points in the first half, 28 in the second. That one makes it a four-point game. Ensuing possession. Where does Miami go for a bucket? All eyes on Hero. How about Goran Dragic? Left all by himself in the corner. Bang for three. Heat up 105-98. And then finally, it is more from Tyler Hero. Cutting to the basket. 37 points on 14 of 21 shooting. His 37, the most by a rookie in a conference finals in 50 years. And they are enough to give the Heat a 3-1 series lead. One win away from a trip to the NBA Finals.
I'm just going to bet on myself. I've been doing that, you know, my whole life. I went from you know, Milwaukee, a small town in Milwaukee, to Kentucky. Nobody thought I would survive there, and nobody thought I would survive here. So at the end of the day, it's just betting on myself.
And what a bet this is turning out to be. These playoffs culminating in that performance last night. His 37, the most by a rookie coming off the bench ever in the NBA's playoffs. And the Heat now again one win away from their first finals appearance since LeBron led them there in 2014. And our superstars are Vince Carter and Tim Legler, and they're up with us early here. And so Legs again, an historic performance from Tyler Hero. How do you explain that? Comes off the bench, had a good rookie season, but no reason to see something like this coming. How do you explain the performance he has given them in this postseason, and particularly last night?
Well, when you combine skill, confidence, and poise, you get a guy that seems like he was made for this situation. And on a night when so many different players seem shaky offensively, Tyler Hero was anything but that. And I think he realized early on he had it going, and the game started to slow down for him. Everything that was in front of him, he made every single read. And the thing that's amazed me the most about him is he's got a much greater all-around offensive package than I think anybody realized, because his handle is better than we thought. His finishing ability is better than we thought. We knew he could shoot it, but to shoot it as deep as he's shooting it, off the dribble, with that kind of range, with that kind of pressure, it was his night. And as a result, Miami now has a commanding 3-1 lead.
And they just didn't have any answers for him last night. Vince, what are you seeing from this 20-year-old rookie off the bench with 37?
I mean, Leg said it. I mean, one thing, they've instilled confidence in him. He knows he has the game, but when you're in the playoff game and all of a sudden the plays are run through you after you've hit a few shots, you're going to relax and you're going to play confidently. And he's been shooting the ball extremely well. He's making the right play. You saw the numbers in catch and shoot. I mean, 14 for 21 5-10 from three. It doesn't get any better than that. So right now, he's rolling, and I foresee them continuing to play through him, particularly when we know Jimmy Butler is a pass-first guy in the first three quarters. You play through Tyler Hero.
It's remarkable. You know, Vince, sometimes we talk about role players coming up big in big spots. He didn't look like a role player. Right now, to your point, they're running the offense through him. Right now, Vince, he doesn't look like a role player. He looks like he's, in moments, the best player on the Miami Heat. Can he lead that team to the NBA Finals?
Well, I tell you this. If he's a role player, he's a role player that I'm going to play through. And, you know, with that formula I just said, I mean, you have Bam having his spurts and moments where he's playing well, and you know what Jimmy Butler does in the fourth quarter. He becomes your third guy. And you have the two All-Stars, but now you have Tyler Hero emerging as your third guy. So in the first three quarters, I'm playing through Tyler Hero.
It's amazing. And, Tim, how about on the other side? What specifically do the Celtics need to do to climb this mountain now down 1-3 in the conference final?
I think for me the biggest thing is they still have not made the necessary adjustments against that zone. And a lot of it has to do with just proper spacing and getting somebody in the middle that can actually attack it. They were a little bit better in game three. I thought they had a breakthrough. You saw more guys flashing in there. The balance on the floor was a little bit better. But they still haven't occupied that area of the floor to the extent they need to. And look, Greeny, it's one thing to say, hey, we're not getting great looks against the zone. Last night, they actually started turning the ball over against the zone, and it's really inexcusable to have that many turnovers against a defense that's not designed to pressure you. What they're trying to do is force you into taking contested three-point shots, but the Celtics were more than willing to just give them the basketball, and as a result, it really snowballed against them. So for me, that is the single biggest adjustment Brad Stevens needs to work on.
So Miami is up 3-1. The Lakers will try and take that same lead tonight. We'll come back and talk about the West Conference Final a little bit later in this hour. Meanwhile, guys, back to the football here. And Rob Gronkowski, his decision to unretire and reunite with Tom Brady was met with a lot of fanfare. So far, through two games, just two catches for 11 yards. And listen to his head coach, Bruce Arians, yesterday addressing the play of his now 31-year-old tight end.
We haven't had that many red zone opportunities, and I don't see him running 40 yards past people anymore. We brought him in to just play tight end. If that means no catches, that means no catches.
Somehow I don't think that's what he thought he was coming in to do. So let's talk about what we're seeing from Gronk. And where's our football crew here? Who have I got ready to go with me here? Damian Woody is in my studio. And let me see who I've got ready to go. Lewis and Dominique. There we go. Lewis Riddick and Dominique Foxworth. Lewis, what are we seeing from Rob Gronkowski so far this season? The word coming out of his little retirement there was he's much better shape, he's lost a lot of weight, he's going to be a lot more dynamic. Are we seeing that?
Well, we're not seeing him be utilized, you know, in a way that would kind of like lend some credence to the fact that they said that he was looking this way during training camp. That's for sure. He looks like someone who right now is just a point of attack blocker. Someone who they have thrown the football to just, you know, sparingly on some routes that were not, you know, commensurate with what they said his athletic ability looked like during training camp, and not commensurate with how he was used in New England also. So, you know, I'm a little confused about Bruce's description of him at this point and kind of his characterization of his role on the football team, considering the fact that it was him. It was him himself who said that Gronk looked like he had lost weight. He didn't look stiff. He looked more fluid. He looked like he was having more fun. And, you know, for them to, like, at this point in time, I mean, I watch the games and I sit there and I go, where is he? Why is he not getting down the field? Why are they not running some of the Y shallow crosses, Y deep crosses, Y sticks, you know, Y middle reads that he ran that Tom used to hit him on consistently up there in New England? I know they have a lot of other weaponry in order to spread the ball around to, but right now he seems to be underutilized. I understand that they have other tight ends on their roster who are younger, who may be faster in a straight line, who may be able to threaten the deep parts of the field a little bit more. But I for sure am one who did not expect him to be utilized this way. And although the fact is that they haven't had many red zone opportunities, I see that they could be a little bit more creative in terms of getting the ball in his hands and getting him on track, because this is not what I expected.
Yeah, Nick, you were with us all summer long. We made a very big deal of it when Gronkowski decided to unretire and join Tom Brady in Tampa. In retrospect, do you think it's going to wind up that we made too big a deal of it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And at the time, I thought we were probably making too big a deal of it, because they do have a lot of weapons. And Gronk, when he retired, he was looking kind of old, and he came back and he still looks kind of old, which happens to people. It's not the quarterback position. Athleticism, strength, and power, and those things matter in the position that he's playing. And he also had a bad drop in their most recent game. So if he's not going to catch the ball and he's not going to outrun people and they're not going to scheme up special situations to get him the ball down in the red zone, then I'm not quite sure why they had Gronk come back, because what he does that makes him special, they're not giving him the chance to do, and maybe he's not capable of doing that anymore. So I guess maybe having him there makes Tom Brady feel a little bit more comfortable because of the history they have together. But other than that, he's not a guy that defenses are looking at in the week prior to the game thinking, well, we got to prepare this special coverage to stop Gronk. We got to make sure that we always have an eye on him. He's not that type of player anymore. At least they're not using him like he is.
It's worth pointing out, Rob Gronkowski has caught more touchdowns from Tom Brady than any other player. Their history is in cement. But what the future looks like right now, we'll wait and see. It's only 2 weeks. We'll take a short break as we continue. Speaking of quarterbacks, how about these? Lamar versus Mahomes, the marquee matchup. But is it the most important one on Monday night? Lewis Riddick's been looking at the tape. He's got that answer. Plus, LeBron and the Lakers up 2-1 out west. But they need to be very worried. And we'll explain to you why as we continue. Get up on ESPN. Back on Get Up. Let's get up and go around the action in sports last night. It includes Steven Stamkos scoring in his return as the Lightning took a 2-1 lead in the Stanley Cup Finals. Stamkos, a two-time league-leading scorer, was out the entirety of the playoffs after getting core muscle surgery. His status for Game 4, which is Friday, is unclear. College football. The University of Houston's rough season continues. Their fourth game of the year has been postponed, this time due to contract tracing of COVID-19 on North Texas's team. Houston previously was supposed to play Rice, Memphis, and Baylor. Their next hope for a game is Tulane on October 8th. And a similar story, Notre Dame's game against Wake Forest has been rescheduled for December 12th. The game was originally scheduled to be played this past Saturday. It was postponed after 7 Notre Dame players tested positive for COVID-19. Meanwhile, the game of the NFL season is coming up Monday night. Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. Third time these two have met, and they've given us some fireworks in the first two meetings. Let's look at some of the spectacular plays. First of all, Patrick Mahomes, this was the game with the no-look pass to DeMarcus Robinson. Damian Woody, what can we say?
There's not much to say. I mean, how many quarterbacks in the league right now can do a no-look pass on an NFL field? Come on, man, that's just crazy.
That is crazy. That's one of those that made him a legend. Meanwhile, in that same game, this was a fourth down that saved the game. That one kept the game alive on a fourth down, somehow gets that one to Tyreek Hill.
Hey, when you're having one of those special seasons, sometimes you need special plays like that along the way.
No question about it. But he was not the only quarterback with highlight moments in these matchups. How about Lamar? Let's go to last year on a fourth down. Lamar Jackson avoiding the blitz, falling away, and somehow finding Seth Roberts. Lewis Riddick, how about this play?
Look, Lamar is special, man, and he's starting to put together a resume, especially when you're just talking about the routine plays that are starting to catapult him right now into the discussion of being one of those upper echelon quarterbacks all around. And it's not just because of his athletic ability. It's because this young man has really taken it serious as far as putting in the work, as far being able to beat you from the pocket. But then he can do this here, too. I mean, this is dumb. I have a controller out here in the other room on a video game that I can do things with people like that, too. That's not supposed to happen with a human being.
So, again, they have had great highlight moments going head-to-head against each other, and we'll see what they're able to provide on Monday. And, Lewis, you're obviously doing the game on Monday night, so I know you've been looking at the tape. What has caught your eye so far when it comes to this matchup on Monday?
I think, you know, styles make fights, right? Styles make football games. And I think the styles here are what is going to make this so intriguing, particularly Baltimore's defense versus Kansas City's offense. Like, everyone knows that really, you know, the ingredient, really the magic formula to really slowing down Pat Mahomes is to get pressure on him, number one, but to really pressure his wide receivers on the edges and get up on them and make them have to beat press coverage and disrupt the timing. And they have some guys who can absolutely do that. Look, Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey, those are two of the very best in the NFL as far as being multi-dimensional corners that can play press, can play off. And in the case of Marcus Peters, you know he has just ridiculous ball skills. And then they've got the pass rush to go with it. Look, their defense overall will come and blitz you at any point in time. It could be 3rd and 12 and they'll run zero blitz. They'll totally vacate the middle of the field and send the house after you. They have no fear. They have no fear of Pat Mahomes, and he's going to have an answer for it. Otherwise, this is going to be a long night for him, and it's going to be a great game overall anyway. But I think that's the matchup that you need to keep an eye on.
That's an extraordinary stat that Hembo just put on the screen. Since they got Marcus Peters, that defense has caused more turnovers than it has allowed touchdowns. D. Wood, what specifically in this game are you looking for?
So for me, for the Kansas City Chiefs, I'm looking early downs on offense. This is a team that's quite honestly, they're struggling on early downs. They're 17th in the league. Last year, they were second. They were second in the league as far as yards per play on first down. Mm-hmm. That makes a huge difference when you get to third down, especially when you're playing against a Baltimore Ravens defense that is as good as it gets all the way around, particularly on third down. So they need to be better early on. And Greeny, we talk about how explosive the Kansas City Chiefs offense with all the weapons that they have. They only have 5 explosive plays. So this is a Kansas City Chiefs offense that still trying to find their way early on this season.
Chargers played them very tough last week. Again, with a rookie quarterback, that game is an overtime, and they have a real chance to win. And, of course, all eyes will be on the quarterbacks in that matchup. Speaking of dynamic superstar young quarterbacks, let's talk about Kyler Murray. He of the Cardinals, as we're going to put this one on the clock. Murray and the Cardinals are 2-0 as his prolific rise continues across the league. Arizona, an FPI favorite in each of their next 3 games. They play the Lions, they play the Panthers, they play the Jets. And the quarterback has been getting it done not only through the air but on the ground. He has 158 rushing yards through his first 2 games, second most by a quarterback over the last 20 years, trailing only Michael Vick from 2006. Yesterday, this was Ryan Clark when asked on First Take if Kyler Murray is already a top 10 player in the league.
Hell no! And guys, and hey, listen, I understand, man, we get all excited. And through 2 games, we are all excited about what Kyler Murray has done. 516 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 touchdown runs, and a little bit over 100 yards. But those ain't top 10 stats. Those ain't really top 10 quarterback stats. And it is not an indictment on Kyler Murray. I think he's going to be really good. And in the MVP conversation one day, this ain't the day.
That was interesting to me because we haven't heard a lot of people suggesting that. So, again, our first on the clock will be for you, Lewis Riddick. 45 seconds on the clock. Do you think Kyler Murray is already a top 10 player in this league?
No, he's not a top 10 player yet, but he is on his way. This is a guy who really, as far as a dual run pass threat, he is starting to put together an early impressive resume in 2020 that you're going to have to stand up and take notice of, especially as he continues to develop a rapport with DeAndre Hopkins and Cliff Kingsbury finds out what really works between these two guys. Because he can throw the football from the pocket, he can throw the football from different launch points outside the pocket, and we know this, when he decides to run, he's like a running back in the open field. I mean, he makes people look ridiculous. He just makes people look silly. So I think he's not in that category yet. There's some great players in the league overall at every position, and there's some quarterbacks who are putting together eye-popping numbers through 2 weeks. But don't discount the fact that this young man is on a rocket ride to the top, and he's going to get there very, very quickly by the end of this year, I would suggest.
And you know who is a top 10 player? It's his teammate, DeAndre Hopkins. And that's not hurting him one way or the other. All right, Dominique, the next on the clock is for you. Baker Mayfield played much better against the Bengals in week 2. Give me the key for him to keep that going Sunday against a scary defense in Washington. 45 seconds. Go.
I think they need to do more of the same. So Baker got out of the pocket, and fortunately for him, he had his best game in prime time, and that's quieted a lot of the noise around him, and it's reminded us of what he can be. Even though he made some mistakes late in the game, he hit some deep shots off of play action outside of the pocket. They got him from inside there where he's looking over those bigger defensive linemen and trying to make connections. They got him out on the edge so he could see clearly and he could return to the accuracy that got him drafted number 1 overall. And that defensive line at the Washington football team, that is a big, aggressive, fast, intimidating defensive line. So get him away from them. Continue to run the ball well as they have done with those zone plays and then bootleg Baker out of the pocket and hopefully allow guys like Odell Beckham to attack that secondary because they have holes in the secondary and OBJ is a guy who can kill any team, especially a team like that. So don't let Baker sit back in that pocket and let those guys tee off on him.
Remember, that Washington football team sacked Carson Wentz 8 times week one. D. Wood, here's yours. We've been talking about Kansas City and Baltimore, the best teams in the AFC. For your money, what's the best team in the NFC right now? 45 seconds, go.
Greeny, I'm going to have to go with the Seattle Seahawks. And the main reason why is Russell Wilson. This is a guy who's had a phenomenal career up to this point, but it seems like now he's taking it up to the next level. This is a team that loves to establish a run the football. But when you have Russell Wilson as the quarterback, the way he's able to deliver the ball, he's the best deep thrower in the National Football League. He elevates everyone around him. Then they go out and get a Jamal Adams who's bringing another level of intensity to that defense to go along with Bobby Wagner. This team right now is well on its way to being that team that we're going to see down in Tampa.
I agree with you, and I think the acquisition of a guy like Jamal Adams has been critical to that because that's a team that always played with a little bit of an edge, and they lost some of the edgy guys, the Legion of Boom guys, the Beast Mode guys. Here comes Jamal Adams, who maybe brings a little bit of that back. That's on the clock with us here. Meanwhile, as we continue in a moment on Get Up, Bill Belichick, never necessarily known as the fashion plate, but does his style, as it were, say a lot about the man and attract players to New England? It's an interesting question. D. Wood is laughing. We'll talk about it next. Get Up on ESPN.
It's a new day on ESPN Radio with new voices that have big things to say. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
That's how you build a winning culture.
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz.
You are like the Einstein of life.
Greeny.
How ridiculously good was that?
The Max Kellerman Show.
Why not get out in front of it?
And Janaean Golick Jr.
I knew we were destined for greatness.
All day, every day.
Big names, new voices.
It is time to go to work.
Real talk. Weekdays on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and smart speakers everywhere.
Back on Get Up, and I want to look at some performances in the NFL so far this season, and you tell us if they are real or a mirage. Lewis Riddick, I start with you. Carson Wentz, struggling, real or a mirage?
Yeah, I'm going to say this is a mirage, man. And I think Carson right now obviously is not playing his best football. I think he needs to settle down and really just dial in on the offense and let the offense come to him instead of him trying to make offense. Because when he lets it come to him and he just plays with great fundamentals, he's already shown in these first two games that he can make some spectacular throws that only a few quarterbacks can make. So I'm going to say it's a mirage. I think he'll turn this around.
D. Wood, Rob Gronkowski, lack of production, real or mirage?
Greeny, this is real, and I know we've had questions about, you know, the way that Bruce Arians has used Gronk, but quite honestly, this is not the same Gronk that we saw 5-6 years ago. This is Gronk, when you watch the tape, it's a guy that's lumbering down the field. He doesn't look as explosive as we've known him to be, and I think that's part of the reason why he hasn't been targeted as much.
Lewis, Josh Allen has been great throwing the football down the field this season. Real or a mirage?
Yeah, I'm going to say this is real. I think this is now the time for him to really step up his level of play. He still has some of those throws that make you scratch your head and go, how did you just miss that? But they have really upgraded the level of talent around him on the perimeter. And, you know, he has made some plays right now that put him squarely in the discussion for being one of those types of quarterbacks that you can definitely get to the playoffs with and win some major games.
And then there's this. D. Wood, your old coach Bill Belichick, wearing this shirt at a press conference that got an extraordinary amount of attention. Maybe we could, let's just see the shirt, because this, I see you laughing there, which is, I guess, the exact reaction we were looking for. Is the shirt real or a mirage? I'm not even sure what question I'm supposed to be asking. Let me bring you guys out. Damian Woody, you played for him. Two generations ago, Lewis Riddick, you played for him. And Shefty, you've covered him. The question that came up when we get beyond the sort of real or mirage piece of this was that shirt and that sort of authentic nature of him is appealing, that players actually look at that and they like it. He goes out there in front of a press conference, in front of the entire world, wearing that shirt. You played for him. What do you think, D. Wood?
That's Bill. That's real. Like, there are many, many a mornings where I spent on the treadmill, and Bill is on a Stairmaster. He's looking exactly like that. Like, 5:30 in the morning, he's looking exact, holes all in the shirt and all those type of things. You know what you're getting from Bill. He's no frills. He's going to shoot it to you straight. He doesn't care really about his appearance in the building or anything like that. So I applaud him for keeping it real with everyone, not only the players, but Hell, let the media see it too.
Shefty, your thoughts?
Well, a few things. First of all, keep in mind, as Mike Reese pointed out, the last time he wore that very sweatshirt was the week of the Super Bowl when they beat the Seahawks. He had not worn that sweatshirt since then. It looks like it's been in mothballs since then, and he's taken it out. But I will also say this. Think about what an emotional week it has been for Bill Belichick. He lost his mom last week and went to her funeral last week. His girlfriend lost her father. They went to Seattle. They took a red-eye flight home and got back to New England somewhere around 7 in the morning on Monday. If anybody went through the week that he did, that's exactly how they'd look. And he doesn't care. He's been through an emotional roller coaster. He's had a long, physically exhausting, draining week. And so if he shows up for a Zoom call on Wednesday morning where he's gotten no sleep, where he's had to bury his mom, where he's had to live through everything that he has, so what? Who cares?
I'm with you, and I'm glad you made that point because it is – Lewis, of course, is smiling and nodding. What are you thinking there, Lewis Riddick?
Yeah, you know what? I'm just thinking this. Bill is not for everyone, especially those people who, as Damian puts it, don't like it when people keep it real with you. And see, some people like to always be told what they want to hear. Bill will not tell you what you want to hear. He will tell you what is. And see, that's the thing. You always know with him this. If he tells you something good that you did good, you can best believe you did it the right way. And if you do it wrong, you can best believe you did it the wrong way. And that's what it is with him. And when you see him like that, that's exactly how he's feeling. He doesn't care what you think. And quite honestly, given his resume and given what he has accomplished in this arena, the sports arena, which is all we really are privy to, he can do whatever the heck he wants to do. And we should all just sit there and go, yeah, well, that's just him being real. Because in a business where a lot of people put on a show and a lot of people are fake and say one thing in front of your face and then behind your back are saying and acting in a totally different way, Bill is not like, that's him. What you see on your screen right there, that's him. He's a football lifer. He's the greatest coach of all time. And he, you know, that shirt. Yeah, I don't know, Adam, if it's been in mothballs. It looks like it's had some critters that are starting to eat away at that thing. I don't know, but you know what? I mean, I got a few like that. Maybe if I had enough courage, I'd put it on TV too, but I don't have his resume, so I don't think I'm going to do that right now.
Here's the thing.
It's the way that everybody looks and feels in 2020. So he is the personification of
yeah,
all
that too.
Bill Belichick is all of us in 2020.
And the other side of this, and I saw people posting this, don't we all have that shirt? Like that shirt that you still have, that I'm never throwing away, no matter what happens. There was a Seinfeld episode about this. He named the T-shirt Golden Boy, and it died in a washing machine, sadly, at the end of the episode. But we all, right? You have a shirt like that? You have a shirt like that that you will not throw away no matter what?
I have like five. My wife is trying to get rid of them, and I refuse.
Yes. They keep getting hidden around the house, and you keep finding them, like in places they're not supposed to be. So, I like it, and that was really what we meant with it. And maybe that is the point, that authenticity of him. While a lot of people look at Bill a certain way, that maybe that authenticity of being willing to walk out there like that, like this is a press conference, most people will pay some attention to what they look like. Him being willing to not think that way actually is appealing to those who play for him.
Absolutely, because like, you know, Lou knows as well as I do. It's just, that's just who he is, man. All he cares about is ball. Everything else doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, it's an interesting discussion. We'll have much more football as we continue. Meanwhile, I want to go to the NBA because we saw last night the Miami Heat work their way to within a game of the NBA Finals, and the Lakers are going to try and do the same tonight in Game 4. This after Denver overcame a LeBron James triple-double in Game 3, 28 from Jamal Murray, and they won that one. So the Lakers' lead is now 2-1. With that win, by the way, the other night, the Nuggets became just the third team all time with 6 wins when trailing in a playoff series. And get this, and Laker fans, you may want to cover your ears. Both of the previous teams to do so would go on to make the finals. So we will see if Denver is able to make that 3-for-3 as I bring Vince Carter back into the conversation. And Vince, so many people have said it in the buildup to this game. You know, that's a big shot that Anthony Davis hit at the end of game 2. If not, maybe Denver is ahead 2-1. Do you feel like the Lakers are in control of the Western Conference Finals right now?
I think the concern is, have you given the Denver Nuggets the confidence to feel that they can pull this off? You know, looking at your stats, we just read, and it's funny, as you said that, I was like, that's exactly what I was going to say. Have you given them confidence? Because if you just look at that play right there, if Jamal Murray throws that ball back to half court. Lakers have to take a heave. That shot doesn't go in. Anthony Davis does not get that three-point shot. So right now, you must slow down Jokic. You must slow down Murray and let the others beat you. Yes, Jeremy Grant had 26 points. Porter, I have my notes here, was 9.6 rebounds, and Morris had 14 points. You know, you must make those guys beat you.
You know, Vince, you played for so long on so many different teams. You've seen all sides of this. But there does come a point when an underdog, they get a sense, you can see it, they get a sense that, wait, we can win this
thing.
They
start to believe.
The Nuggets look like they believe, right? I mean, that's, if I'm LeBron, that worries me. The Nuggets believe they can win this series.
Because, yes, and the reason why, they've shown and they've gone against history. It's like, history says what? Okay, 3-1, we believe we can do it. We've been in this position before. It doesn't matter to them who they're playing. They don't care if they're playing the Lakers, LeBron James, Anthony Davis. They just believe what they've done in recent history and in the bubble in this playoffs, it has worked for them. And they're in a position to do it again.
So we all have this natural tendency to assume, well, LeBron will figure it out. So what do they need to do? What are the keys for the Lakers tonight to take total control in a 3-1 lead?
Well, it's simple as this to me. LeBron James and Anthony Davis must impose their will on the game immediately and just shut them down. Point blank. Have Denver feeling like, okay, well, we're running to a juggernaut tonight. And, you know, obviously you always think, all right, just stay close in the second half. And for Denver Nuggets, the fourth quarter, well, second half, but the fourth quarter in particular, they've found ways to win and get back in the series. But I think if you shut down Jokic, well, let me rephrase that. If you slow down Jokic and Murray and you put the onus on the others of Denver to score and win games and take the big shots, the Lakers have a chance and they move on.
Yeah, I don't get the sense there's any panic, even in L.A. yet. If the Nuggets should win tonight's game, that may totally change.
Agree. I agree. But I think a lot of things have to happen. We know LeBron, like you said, he had a triple-double. Anthony Davis scored like 27 points, but he had 2 rebounds. Mm-hmm. And when Anthony Davis is rebounding, he creates extra possessions and open shots off of those extra possessions for the other guys. Danny Green didn't play well. Kuzma played well with 11 points, and KCP had 12 points. But you want to get as many possessions as you can, which means Denver does not have the ball.
Yeah, that was a game again where the Nuggets had a 20-point lead. Lakers cut it down to 3 in the fourth quarter, but never got all the way there. We will see what happens in Game 4 tonight, and we will see you later in the week. Thank you so much, Vince Carter. Outstanding, as always. Meanwhile, NBA action continues, and so does WNBA playoff action. Game 3 of a best-of-5 semifinal today with MVP Asia Wilson in the top seed at Aces, squaring off against the Suns, 7:30 Eastern. Then Breonna Stewart and the Storm taking on Sylvia Fowles and the Lynx. That's Game 2. Both games are streaming live on the ESPN app, so you can watch from absolutely anywhere. Coming up, if Drew Brees is worried about his play, he's doing a great job disguising it. You'll hear what the Saints quarterback thinks about his slow start, and we'll discuss whether or not he's right. That's next. This is Get Up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up. Let's run the bases around the action from the majors yesterday, shall we? It begins with Randy Arozarena homering twice as the Rays clinch their first American League East title in 10 years with an 8-5 win over the Mets. They also clinch home field advantage in the American League Wild Card Series. So there was much rejoicing. Elsewhere, Jake Cave hit a pair of home runs as the Twins beat Detroit 7-6 to take over sole possession of the AL Central lead for the first time this month. They currently have a half-game lead over the White Sox. Elsewhere, Jordan Luplo, a game-ending home run in the bottom of the ninth, gave the Indians a 3-2 win over the White Sox. It's their second straight walk-off win against Chicago. And the Blue Jays crushing the Yankees 14-1 thanks to 2 home runs from Danny Jansen. Toronto reducing the magic number to 1 for clinching a wild card berth and a first postseason appearance since 2016. In general, the American League playoff picture is much clearer than the National League. In the NL, there's still a lot to be settled. Just a single game separates the Cardinals, who are 5th, and the Brewers, who were 10th. So that should be some race to the finish in the National League. And other than the 1906 World Series, the only other year the Cubs and White Sox clinched a playoff berth in the same year was 2008. Well, the Southsiders are in, and now looking to lock up the American League Central title. The Northsiders, magic number is 4. We'll have their game tomorrow, 8 Eastern, on ESPN2 and on the ESPN app.
All right, back to the NFL and some more either-ors on the weekend matchups. Lewis, we got Jared Goff against Josh Allen. Who you got in that matchup?
No, I'm going with Jared Goff because I believe his relationship with Sean McVay right now is like hitting on all cylinders right out of the gate. These two look like they're in lockstep. The play action passing game is working beautifully. The run game really complements the passing game, and Jared is in a nice groove right now. He's throwing the football from the pocket, from outside the pocket, on the move, seeing the field well. I really like the way this football team is looking, and I think many people underestimated how the Rams would respond to this season given some of the changes that they have made on the coaching staff as well. I think this team is looking pretty good.
Rams-Bills, an interesting matchup. Dominique, Joe Burrow versus Carson Wentz. Who you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Wentz in this situation. And I know, Grinny, maybe I would have changed my mind if I would have saw your monologue before this, because Burrow is statistically better than Wentz in most situations. But this is a team game, and I feel more confident in what the Eagles have surrounding Wentz than I do in what the Bengals have surrounding Burrow. So I'm going to stick with Wentz and know and expect him to reach those heights that he's reached in the past.
You better be right, because if the Eagles lose that game, it's going to be nuts. Meanwhile, D-Wood, Aaron Rodgers against Drew Brees. Great matchup. Who you got?
Oh, I got Aaron Rodgers. It seems like we're now seeing the Aaron Rodgers of old, the guy who's pinpoint accurate inside the pocket and making magical plays outside the pocket. And Aaron Rodgers even admitted that mentally he's just in a different place, and playing in this second year, this system in the second year under Matt LaFleur, you can just see him flourishing in this system now, and he's just playing loose and fast.
No question. He has been great. That's been one of the big stories. The struggles, meanwhile, of Drew Brees to throw the ball down the field has been another. You see the average yards in the air stat there. He's the lowest since Brett Favre in 2009. Here's what Drew Brees said when asked about those struggles yesterday.
I feel good. I feel good. Borderline great. you know, my job is to move the football, get first downs, possess the ball, score points. And so however we can do that, we're going to do it. You know, one of the statistics that was thrown out after the game was, you know, the yards per attempt or something like that. I mean, there are many statistics I do not pay one bit of attention to, and that would be one of them.
So he says he doesn't pay attention to the stat. Fair enough. But the eye test will tell you some things and everything else. And, Lewis, you had an up-close look at it on Monday night doing the game. What do you see from Drew Brees right now? And is some of this concern legitimate?
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Yeah, I'll start with the latter. Some of the concern is legitimate because, look, once quarterbacks and any player, obviously, gets 40-plus years old, I mean, there's going to be some natural deterioration in your physical skills, and you're just not going to be able to do the things that you used to, and your margin for error starts to decrease. And I think Drew's margin for error is starting to decrease. He needs to be able to step into his throws. He needs to be able to execute with perfect mechanics in order to push the ball to all areas of the field that he needs to push the ball to. And on Monday night, I saw when he isn't able to do that and there's pressure in his face, obviously a lot, I think some velocity comes off of the football and then it's off target. And then, you know, what happens is the offense starts to bog down. Now, on top of it, Michael Thomas wasn't in that football game. We know how important he is to that offense given the percentage of production that he is responsible for. And so before we start putting dirt on Drew Brees, we need to see him with Michael Thomas and see them put together a few games before we start making that determination. But I think right now, there's no doubt that they're sputtering. They're 1-1. Sean Payton has said the first month of this season is going to be like training camp, more so this year than any year for everyone. So I think we have to kind of like pump the brakes a little bit as far as saying that Drew is done or that he's hitting the wall. But if this kind of performance continues, then those conversations are going to have to come up because the statistics are what they are. He has been throwing the ball shorter and shorter and shorter over the past, say, 3 to 4 years. And teams start to creep closer and closer to him and his wide receivers as a result. And that's something that they're aware of and something that they're trying to correct.
Yeah, and it's an issue. No matter how you slice it, Dominique Foxworth, again, you were a corner. You know all about that. What are you seeing in Drew Brees right now? And how much of this concern, let's call it, is warranted in your mind?
Yeah, I think the concern is absolutely warranted, and I understand that Coach Payton was kind of tempering expectations by saying it's going to be like preseason, but if there's any team in this league that should have come into this season hitting all cylinders, it's this team. They have a ton of continuity, and they have a veteran quarterback. But the thing that I find most interesting is the way that Drew is talking now. Before the season started, I remember he had quotes of saying he was going to let it all hang out and kind of sounding like a gunslinger, and now his quotes kind of make him sound more like a game manager. And maybe that's what he is at this point in his career, which is fine. He can be a game manager and then use those kind of that experience and those skills to close out games, but manage up until that fourth quarter. But right now, there's the quote that he had at the beginning of the season where we thought he was going to be, there it is, turning it loose. It don't feel like turning it loose when you're throwing it 4 yards in attempts.
Right. So what does that tell you? Again, that's Kat Terrell, who covers the Saints, and posting that he had said, I've got nothing to lose because he's on borrowed time. I'm turning it loose. If that's the mentality, if that's what he wants to do when it isn't happening, Damian, I'll turn to you on this one. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? If that's what he wants to do, but they're not doing it, what does that tell you?
Well, listen, I think, you know, number one, I think Lewis is right. We do need to pump the brakes a little bit. But when you're not seeing it consistently, this is not new just this year. We saw it towards the end of 2019 where the ball wasn't being pushed down the field, and it just seemed like all his passes became shorter and shorter and shorter. If you can't threaten a defense on all three levels, guess what? The defense is going to start playing you different. They're going to play you tighter, and it's going to make those throws that he likes to, you know, make short, they're going to make them a lot harder, regardless if you have Michael Thomas or not on the field. So they have to find a way to whether schematically or something to have more explosive plays down the field to expand the Saints offense.
Yes, we've seen some of that at the ends of recent seasons. Right. To see it at the beginning is a different level of concern. And, Nick, I'll go back to you again. You just showed us the quote. His intention is to let it all loose. The fact that they're not doing it, and again, it's only two games, what does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right in saying that it's only two games and Lewis is right and pump the brakes and all that stuff. But this is football. There's only 16 games. And you can't, if you don't get it together fast in football, it's not a long baseball season. It's not a long basketball season. You don't all the teams don't get into the playoffs. This team is loaded. They have no weaknesses to speak of on their roster, especially when they get Michael Thomas back from injury. So and especially in this new playoff format where only one team on either side gets a bye, when you have an aging quarterback and a team like they have in New Orleans, I really feel like each week really matters. They need to win these games, especially against the teams that they should have beat. And that's what happened last week against the Raiders. They lost the game to a team they should have beaten. And it's going to happen to a lot of other teams throughout the course of this year. So I think the Saints don't have the luxury to be able to drop very many more games that they expect to be in Tampa for the Super Bowl at the end of the year.
Yeah, step up in class this week as they go head-to-head with Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay, who are off to an absolutely great start. All right, more as we go. And again, we'll look forward to a lot of big games this weekend. And we look forward First Take, which follows us. The Heat took a commanding 3-1 lead in the East last night. Is Max ready to concede to Stephen A. that the Celtics are done? You'll find out as First Take follows us 6 minutes from now on ESPN. Saturday, it's UFC 253 back on Fight Island with two title bouts. You will see Israel Adesanya taking on Paulo Costa and then Dominic Reyes against Jan Blachowicz for the vacant light heavyweight title. You can order the main card in English and Spanish by going to ESPNplus.com/PPV. All right, D. Wood, in the moment we have left, Dolphins, Jaguars tonight. Jacksonville, a 3.5-point home favorite, 3 points home favorite. If the Dolphins lose tonight, is it time to go to Tua Tagovailoa?
Not yet. September, the month of September still is like training camp to me. Once we get into October and the Dolphins still floundering, there's no point in staying with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I think they will be in October for their next game once this one is over.
Yeah.
You know, October, this thing's sneaking up on us. October is the end of next week. It will be time. Their next three games are Seattle, San Francisco, and Denver.
I will stick with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
You don't want Jamal Adams to be the first player that you are.
No, I don't think he wants to see that yet. It might be a little too early for that.
Maybe the Dolphins win tonight. We'll see. We will see you tomorrow. Thanks for getting up with us. First Take starts now.